Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Yud Ches. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Yud Zayin and Be'ez, the last words on the Amud Toshma. We had learned in our previous shiur, we had begun the Perek, with the Mishnah discussing the halachas of what we have to separate, what we have to distance from a wall, the wall of a bar, in order, because they don't do damage. And the Gemara had quoted a machloikus Abaye v'Rava, and actually had quoted this machloikus with two different versions regarding when was this halacha said. According to one version, this halacha was said by a field that is meant, by a field that was not was meant to have virus. And according to that version, a field that's meant to have virus, everybody agrees we have to distance, even if there isn't one currently. Machloikus was a field that's not meant to have virus. Rava says, even though it's a field that's not meant to have virus, maybe there will be a bar. And Abai says, it's not meant for virus. The other version had that if it's not meant to have virus there, everybody agrees that you could put it. The machloikus is where it's a field that's meant to have a bar, but currently it doesn't have a bar. And therefore, Abai says, since currently it doesn't have a bar, there's no need to distance. And Rava said, since it can and is meant to have a bar, you must distance. And the Gemara continues to analyze these opinions based on our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Toshma machikinus azefes. As we said in our previous shiur, definition of gefes is the leftovers after you squeeze olives. Vesa zevel and the manure. Vesa melech salt. Vesa sid lime. Vesa slime stones. Mekoisle shechaveri from somebody else's wall. You have to distance them all. Shloish tfachim, three tfachim. Ois sad besid, or put up plaster lime to separate it from that wall. Tama. So what does our Mishnah seem to be teaching us? Tama deka koisel. Because there's currently already a wall standing, and these various items that we just identified can do damage to that existing wall. Halaka koisel. If there is no wall standing there at this point, saimich, I would allow to put it up. And the way the Achroinim explained the Gemara, the Mishnah is teaching us that the only time we need to be concerned is because there's an existing wall and we're concerned what these items will do to this wall. But if there isn't an existing wall, we don't need to be concerned. So Tosfos asks, what is the Gemara's question? Maybe in this case, Rava would agree, because at this point, these items that are being put there don't do any damage. And indeed, the halacha will tell us that if the other party will put up a wall, so at that point, I'll have to remove them. So why is this a question on Rava's opinion? So one answer Tosfos gives, that these are the kind of items that once they're put there, they damage the property, and that damage remains permanently. Another terrorist that Tosfos suggests, since it's not simple, it's a tircha, to remove these items, there's a concern that, yes, when I put up a wall, you're going to have to remove them, but since it's not so easy for you to remove them, you're not going to remove them. And therefore, according to Rava, the halacha ought to be that you should not be allowed to leave it in the first place. Tosfos continues to ask that in our previous shiur we learned the reason Rava said I can't dig a bar, even though you don't currently have a bar, because every time I dig, that the actual digging does damage. So that's possible when we speak, that's understandable when we speak about digging. But when we speak about these items that are being placed there, where there's no digging involved, so the svara that the Gemara said in yesterday's svara, that the digging is what does the damage, doesn't apply here. Says Tosfos that the Gemara, when it gave this answer in the previous year, only gave it according to Rav if he follows the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi's opinion, as we mentioned, and we're going to be discussing Rabbi Yossi's opinion quite extensively, is Ein Amazik Tzark LaHachik Nechoyz Nezokov Bereshusai. Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that we don't have to distance any danger until the danger is there. And therefore, the Gemara had to come up with a reason why the danger is already here. But our Gemara today is asking if Rava follows the opinion of the Chachamim. And according to the opinion of the Chachamim, that the Rabbanan hold that al-Mazik, the obligation of the Mazik is always l'harchik esatzmai. That's Tosfos Teretz. But there are other Rishonim say that the question could even be asked according to Rabbi Yossi. Because even though, as we have been learning, and will continue to learn, Rabbi Yossi is much more lenient when we speak about the concept of our mazik l'harchik esatzmai. Is it the mazik's obligation, or is it not the mazik's obligation to distance himself? But Rabbi Yossi agrees that when it's giri delay, when it's your clearly, the damage is clearly attributable to you, Rabbi Yossi will agree that you're held responsible. And the Gemara's question is that this may be considered giri delay. Says the Gemara, loy. This is a what we just learned, actually suggests the Gemara, is a misinterpretation of our Mishnah. Kelek asama kaisel, the Mishnah is actually teaching us that even if there were no wall, nami loy samach, these items may not be put there. So if that's the case, el my kamashmon, why did the Mishnah have to teach us machikim min akoisel? Why does it have to be, the wall is irrelevant? Answers, Gemara, kamashmon, the one that the Mishnah was just teaching us is that the hani kosh l'koisel. In other words, the Mishnah is explaining the reason. And the Mishnah is teaching us that these things are detrimental to the wall. And since they're detrimental to the wall, we can't put them there. And as the Ritva explains, what is the Mishnah coming to teach us? That if we're going to be in a place where walls are not normally put up in this place, then we would be allowed to put it there because there's nothing to be concerned about. Toshma. So the Gemara continues, we learned in our Mishnah, Machikim, Hazroim, Machrisha, Vesmei, Reglaim, and Akos. So we have to distance seeds and the plow and urine from the wall, all Shlosh Tfachim. And again, ask the Gemara, Tama, what's the reason we have to do so? Take a koisel, because there's a standing wall. Clearly, halakha koisel, if there was no wall, samach, I could put it there. But Rava says that I can't put it there even if there is no wall there currently. Answers the Gemara, loy. Kileka koisel nami loy samach. Actually, the Mishnah means to teach us that even if there were no wall, I may not put these things there. So if that's the case, so my Kamashman, what's the Mishnah coming to teach us? The Mishnah is coming to teach us, Kamashman, the Mesnosan, do all these things have moisture, and because they have moisture, Kosh L'Kaisel, they're not good for the wall. And as Rashi explains, the Rishonim explain, even seeds, because you constantly have to water the seeds, that brings moisture that will harm the wall. Toshma, we learned further in our Mishnah. Vesrichayim, the mill, Shlosha, we have to distance from the wall three tfachim from Shecha, from the bottom part, the base of the mill. Shehain, Arba Minarecha, which represent four tfachim from the top part. And again, ask the Gemara, Tam Dika Kaisel. We see that the concern here is because there's a Kaisel. Haleka Kaisel, if there was no kaisel here. Samach, I could put it there. Again, a question on Rava. Answers the Gemara Loi. The way to understand the Mishnah is Kileka kaisel nami le samach. Even if there is no wall, I may not bring these things there. Elamai kamashmon. So what's the Mishnah coming to teach us? How kamashmon, the Mishnah is coming to teach us the turaya, the vibration of the machine and the earth, kashla kaisel abeh for the wall. Toshma, continues the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Vesa tanner." We have to distance the tanner shloishim in a kalya, three tfachim from the base of the tanner, shen arba min asafa, which are four from the top. Tama, again, isn't the pshat of the Mishnah because there's a wall there. Tam de kakaisel, halakha kaisel, if there was no wall, saimach. And it's more loy. The halacha really is kilaka kaisel namile saimach. If there were no wall, I would also not be allowed to put this there. Alamai kamashmalon, hakamashmalon, the havla, the heat that is generated by this oven is kashla kaisel, is detrimental to the wall. Tashma. So Mar brings a raya from a Mishnah. We're going to learn a mitzvah on daf chof amabez. The Mishnah says, "Lo yiftach adam chanushal nachtaimim." Not allowed to open a bakery, but shatzavim, a place where they dye color things. Tachas oitzroy, under somebody, under the warehouse where grain and oil are oitzroy shalchaveroy, where somebody has a warehouse, and all these things give off heat. And they ruin the things that are being stored in the warehouse. Furthermore, the Refus Bakr, you're not allowed to make a barn under somebody else's warehouse for the same reason. The concern is that the smell will harm the things that are being stored. But again, ask the Gemara, Tama, the Eitzer. The point here is that there's a warehouse. But if there is no existing warehouse, halak oitzer, if there were no existing warehouse, ovid, we would not be allowed to do it. But Rava says we're not allowed to even do it, even if it's not there now. So Tysus asks, the Gemara could have answered the question that, like it has throughout our shir, that the Mishnah there is coming to teach us that these various things are detrimental to a warehouse. But Rabbeinu Yonah says that here the Gemara could not have offered this teretz, because we're going to learn that the Braisa differentiates what was there first. Was the barn there first? Or was the warehouse there first? So we see clearly that the Braisa that we're going to learn clearly teaches us that if it's not there now, we don't have to worry. Clearly different, the opposite of what Rava taught us. And Rechba says that if we learn the Mishnah, you'll see even from the Mishnah that the Gemara just quoted, that the halacha differentiates if the warehouse is there or the warehouse is not there. Because the Mishnah says that you're allowed to open a store under your friend's wine warehouse because it doesn't harm the wine. But if the halacha will be that we're never allowed to open it up because we don't know what kind of warehouse is going to be there, so then how could it ever be mutter? Clearly indicating that there's only a problem when the warehouse is there, but prior to the warehouse being there, there's no problem. Opposite of what Rava says. Answers the Gemara, we can't bring a raya from there, because Dirashani, even Rava, who's on the opinion that I can't make something, I can't build something in my chotzer that has the potential of causing damage, he says that's regarding these different items that we've been speaking. However, the various examples that we learned, and we're going to learn in that Mishnah, are things that people normally build and have in their homes. So to tell me that I'm not allowed to do in my home something which is normally done in my home, there halacha only disallows it when there's a thing, when it's going to cause damage right here and now. If it's not going to cause damage right here, right now, even Rava will agree it's not a problem. And says the Gemara, Dekanami, and if we learn, the Gemara says, let's learn the Braisa. The Braisa there says, the Tani law, Maisa Refes Baka Kaidemus Leitzer, if the barn was there first, mutter, and I don't have to remove it. So we see that there it's very different, that since there's nobody being there's a difference if somebody's being damaged currently or not. And then the Meiri says that there are many different opinions in the halacha how to discuss the shaila. The simple pshat in the Gemara is when there is no wall, you still can't put up anything that will damage a wall. If it's a wall, if it's a place that's going to normally have a wall. The Das Goyne Sfard, says the Miri, says that a person could put up things next to somewhere else which won't get damaged. And if it comes later, the thing that could get damaged, then it's not my issue. And according to those opinions, it's not only in our case, like a barn, an oil situation. Another opinion, and all the tzurot that the Gemara gave according to this aren't really lahalocha. According to this, if there is no current problem, I don't have to worry. The third opinion is that once I put it up and my neighbor didn't say anything, I could leave it there. And the fourth opinion is that even if I put it up, and even if my neighbor didn't say anything, since these are things that could cause damage, the halacha is that I have to remove it when my neighbor complains. So Rashi explained that the Gemara said Dirashani, that the halacha is lenient according to Rashi when it comes to operating a business, a bakery in your home, because Chazal wanted to be kind, they wanted to encourage that I should be able to have a business in my home. The Rimigash actually says that the pshat when the Gemara says Dirashani, it says like this, that when I built something, and I built a bakery on the bottom floor of my home, right now you have upstairs also, there's an apartment. So in that case, says the Rimigash, the Gemara is saying, that even Rava agrees that I don't have to concern myself that you are going to convert your upstairs apartment into a oitzer. And therefore, since right now upstairs is an apartment, and a bakery below an apartment is not a problem, then the halacha is, it's not a problem. But the Rashba asks a question on the Rimigash's pshat. He says that we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem on the Chof Amabez, that what's going to be the halacha where it's not yet being used as an oitzer, as a warehouse, but it was already prepared as an oitzer. What would be the halacha? So, according to Rashi, again, the way to look at this entire Gemara is that we're being lenient and allowing you to do things in your home. But according to the Rimigash, that the concern is that upstairs is a warehouse, so why should it make a difference if it's already a warehouse? Well, it's going to be a warehouse. As soon as I know it's a warehouse, I should not be allowed to make something like a bakery downstairs. So the Tzais explains that the Rimigash does not mean to say that since it's uncommon to convert a house into an oitzer, we don't have to be concerned about it. What he means to say, explains the Tzais, that since generally speaking, people do not normally convert a house into oitzer, the upstairs neighbor has no right to stop me from doing something. And therefore, even in a case where he's saying that my intention is to make it into a warehouse because it's uncommon to make it a warehouse, that's already enough of a reason that I could make downstairs a bakery and you can't stop me. Toshima. So Gemara asks another question on the opinion of Rava. We're going to learn in the Mishnah and Daf Chavov. The Mishnah says, "La'yitin adam ilan samach l'sada." I can't plant a tree next to your field. Elm ken herchik mimenu arba amos, unless I distance 4 amos. But Tani Lon, the Bryson explaining that Mishnah says, "Arba amish amru." Why did they leave? Why do I have to leave arba amos? Kedei avoid this akarim, that I should be able to work on my tree. If you'll put up something right next to there, I won't be able to work around my tree. So makes the Gemara the point. Tama, because we have a new reason, says the Gemara. Mishum, there's a concern, could I avoid the sakaran, that I should be able to work on my field. Halab mishum kaveh sakaran. If that were not a consideration, samach, I would be allowed to put my tree right next to the border. IY, Afagav Deikish Rosh and the Kamaski. Why should we not be concerned that the roots of this tree that I'm planting are going to enter into your field and do damage? Answers the Gemara, Hachav Maiskinon, we're speaking about the Mafsut Sunma. There's a rock under the ground, and since there's a rock under the ground, then therefore it prevents the roots from being able to spread. And the way the Ritva explains is the rock is not above ground. The rock is below ground. And says the Gemara, I'll prove that this is the proper way of understanding. If there's a wall, if there's a fence between our properties, everybody could put their trees up to the fence. And the question is, why should they be allowed to do so? Why should we not be concerned that even though there's a fence there, there's roots are going underground? So we see from here that the reason the Gemara is not concerned with that is because there's a rock underground and that prevents the roots from spreading. Ask the Gemara if that's the way we're explaining. They were speaking there about a case where there's the rock under the ground. Yochem Seifa, the Seifa of that Mishnah said, if my roots are going into your property, my neighbor could cut these roots in a depth of 3 tefachim, that when you plow, my roots should not prevent you from being able to plow your field. But ask the Gemara if that Mishnah is referring to situation, the Mafsa Tsunma, that there's a rock preventing anything from spreading. So how did the roots end up getting there? Maba Hasam. Says the Gemara Hakama, this is the way to understand that Mishnah. Vi Lav Tsunma, we're in a situation where there is no stone preventing the roots from spreading. Then the halacha is, if the roots of my tree are entering into your property, the halacha allows us that you could dig 3 tefachim to prevent the plow from being able to plow. Tashma, the Mishnah Daf Chof Heyom Beis teaches us, again, a question, Rova. We have to distance a tree from a pit, 25 amma, because as we learn, the roots of the tree will penetrate the bar and cause it to collapse. Tama, but again, isn't this clearly an indication? Dekabar, because there is already a pit. And that's why we have a concern. Halekabar, if there was no pit there currently, Samach, we would not have to be worried. But why? According to Rava, as we've been learning, even when there is no pit, the halacha doesn't allow us to put things there. Answers the Gemara, loy, kileka bar namile samach. It doesn't make a difference if there is already existing pit or not. So what is the Mishnah coming to teach us? The Mishnah is coming to teach us, ha kamashmalon, dar esrim v'chamish amma, when we have a distance of 25 amma, the Mishnah is teaching us that something has the ability to travel 25 amma, and therefore that's a concern for an existing bar. Yochi, ask the Gemara if that's the way we're going to learn that Mishnah. The Sefer says v'im ilan kadem, but if the tree was there first, lo yokets, then I'm not obligated to cut down my tree. V'idalei samach, but if, as we're learning now, according to Rava, I'm not allowed to plant a tree in my property where it could come up to being next to 25 amos next to your bar, so how could we have a situation that my tree was there and that the Mishnah is telling us that since my tree was there, I don't have to take it down? If I'm not allowed to put up the tree in the first case, how did my tree ever end up next to the border? Then now we have a question, when can you demand that I cut down the tree and when can you not demand that? Answers the Gemara, as Rapapa explains, we're speaking where the person sold something. The person planted the tree in his property without any problem. And then he sold part of his property to somebody else who dug a pit. So now let's think about it. When I put up my tree, I put up my tree in my property. And I'm allowed to put up a tree in my property. And if I'm going to make a borrow or not make a borrow, that's all my problem. But now, so therefore, when I put up the tree, there was no problem. Now, I sold part of my property to someone else. And that person who bought that property from me makes a borrow. And now, he comes and says that your tree is within 25 amma of my borrow. And that's why the Mishnah is saying that since when I put up the tree, it was completely legitimate. So now the halacha is I could keep the tree even though it's encroaching on your bar. Tashma, the Mishnah teaches us on Daf Chaf Hey. Machikin es mishra, water in which they soak the flax, miniyarek. It has to be distance from the vegetables because this water does damage to vegetables. The creation, minabtsolim. You have to separate creation cress from onions because they take away the taste of the onion. As a chadl minadvirim, and we have to separate the bees from mustard because the bees eat the mustard and afterwards they eat up all the honey because they have the bad taste in its mouth. Tama, but what do we see in that Mishnah? The ikayarek. Only when there's vegetable do we have to be concerned what could be detrimental to the vegetable. Haleka yerech, but if there are no vegetables at this point, samach, we don't need to be concerned. Answers, Zemar loy. Speaking about a case, the aloha is even, Robert tells us, kileka yerech namile samach. Even if there aren't existing vegetables, I can't put anything detrimental next to them. Hakamashmon, but the point the Mishnah is coming to teach us is that Mahani Kosha Adadi, that these things, the various pairs that we just learned from that Mishnah, are detrimental to each other. And therefore, according to this, explains the Ramban, when the Mishnah said Mina Yerek, doesn't mean that there is existing Yerek. What it means is that there is a potential for there to be Yerek. The Chishuk Yechemid discusses a situation where, again, our Mishnah speaking, according to Rava's interpretation throughout our shir, the Mishnais have been teaching us halachas about what could represent potential issues. So the question is, somebody is putting up a building, and we know that children have a tendency of exploring and going into these kind of buildings, and if there's an unfinished building without a gate around it, chas v'shalom, children may go in there and they could do damage and they could get themselves hurt. So can the parents of children who live in that neighborhood demand of I, who am building this building, to put up a gate? So the Chishuk Yechemit quotes a Rashba. He says that our Gemara just said that you have to distance the bees from the mustard. And the question is, when I put up the mustard, I planted mustard on my property, why can't I say that you should control that your mustard, your bees, should not come into my property? Why should I be held responsible? The answer is that the mustard, that's the way the Rashba explains, that the mustard sort of attracts the bees. So since the mustard attracts the bees, saying, well, I planted the mustard on my property, that's why should that be my problem that your bees will come in? It is, because I did something to attract the bees. So now the question he discusses is that I put up a building, I didn't why that's not called that I attracted the children to climb there. And maybe therefore it should be mutter. But then he quotes the Gemara Masechet Baba Kama, Daf Tezvav Am Beis, that says, Rabnosan Oimer, Nine Shloi Gadol Odom Kelv Rabbitak Beisai. How do we know that somebody's not allowed to raise a dangerous dog in his property? Vayamitsum Ruah B'tach Beisai, or have a broken ladder in your property. Tamalaymed Lo Sosum Domim Beisecha. And the Rasha explains that what the Pasuk is saying is that we have to do everything that could prevent somebody from Chas V'Shalom getting hurt. If I have a ladder in my property and somebody will end up climbing up that ladder, he could get hurt. So if that's the case, that maybe I shouldn't be allowed to leave this building because it is a concern of Lesosim Domim B'mei Beisecha. And therefore, it should be also to put it up there. And he says, leave it that way. He says that the halacha, he asked this question that to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Rav Chaim Kanievsky's opinion was that to leave a building which is open and people could, and children could go in and hurt themselves is usur. And then he continues to say, of course, and this is a concept that we often discussed when we learned the sect of Matzia. Of course, in a situation, he says, where there are rules, there are government rules, city rules, about leaving these kind of properties not properly covered, protected. There he says that, of course, the halacha demands that we should follow what is the minhag hamakom. And if the minhag hamakom is that we can't have such places, then of course the halacha will be that that's something that we have, that's the rule that we have to follow. Continues the Gemara. If we're going to learn that way, Ihachi, that the Mishnah is coming to teach us that these are things that are dangerous, Eim Sefer. Let's continue learning the Sefer that Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi Mata, Chardol. Rabbi Yossi says you could put mustard, even though there's a beehive not far. Neshiyachol Loi Meloi, as we just learned, you could say, just like you could say to me, don't put up mustard because they shouldn't damage the bees, I could say to you, keep your bees away from my mustard, that they're going to eat up my mustard and they're damaging my mustard. But ask the Gemara, if the halacha, as Rav is explaining that Mishnah, is that we can never put them near each other, so how could this conversation, again, answers the Gemara, Amrav Papa, but speaking at a case, Olekeach, that a person planted mustard in his field, and then he sold part of his field to somebody else, and that person took the field that he now bought and put in their bees. And now we have a machlokes, Rabbi Yossi Rabbanon, if the person who had sold that property and he had mustard in his property, does he have to remove his mustard? The opinion of the Chacham is that even though when he planted the mustard, what he did was perfectly fine because the entire property belonged to him, now he has to take into consideration that he has a neighbor who has bees. And Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that since they both do damage to each other, the bees ruin the mustard hurts the bees, so the person who has the bees has to be the one to take away the bees. Because why did you bring bees to a place where there's already mustard that the bees could do damage? And therefore you had no right to put the bees there. You had no right to bring bees there. And as Tosfos explains, that since you should have never brought the bees, you carry the obligation. Ask the Gemara if that's the way we're explaining Iba Lekeach, my tam de Rabbanon. Indeed, the Rabbanah are difficult to understand. Rabbi Yossi's opinion is much more understandable. When I planted the mustard, there was no problem. So you are the one that should be carrying the responsibility by bringing the bees here. Void, my time to Rabbi Yossi. If that's the reason, Rabbi Yossi, so I feel Mishnah V'Yarka, in the case where we have the flax and the vegetables, Nami, Rabbi Yossi, why do we only find in the Mishnah, asked the Gemara, that Rabbi Yossi disagrees by the case of the mustard and the bees? He should have argued in all of the cases the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, the Machloikis is a much more fundamental Machloikis. The reason the person with the mustard has to distance himself, even though he was the one that planted the mustard first, and he didn't do anything wrong, he planted the mustard, because the Rabbanan are of the opinion that whenever you are the mazik, it makes a difference if you were first or second. It makes no difference if when you planted your mustard, you didn't do anything wrong. Since you are the mazik, the halacha is you have to do everything to prevent yourself from being a mazik. And even though you planted your thing first, and when you planted it, you were perfectly fine in planting it, the way the Rashba explains the pin of the Chachamim is that there's a separate obligation that everybody has. There's a separate obligation that we all have that we should not be a mazik. And that halacha teaches us that a mazik has always that you always have an obligation to make sure that you're not going to be doing damage. And that's why in this case, you have to take away your mustard, even though you planted it there 100% without a problem. Mechlal de Rabbi Yossi Sover. So if we're going to explain the machlokes this way, obviously the opinion of Rabbi Yossi will be a nizik. The person should not have brought the bees there. So if that's the case, and that's Rabbi Yossi's principle. So if that's Rabbi Yossi's principle, ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi should have said that. I feel a mishvi yarkanami. Even in the case with the flax and the vegetables, we should see who came second. Eloilam Rabbi Yossi Nami, says the Gemara, is of the opinion alamazik svirale. V'hoch kamer lo Rabbi Yossi rabbanan. Tenech mishvi yarka. When we speak about the flax, the water in which the flax is soaking, and the vegetable, the kari maski hani, v'hani le maski hani. The water does damage to the vegetables, but the vegetables don't do any damage to the water. And therefore, the owner of this soaking water is clearly the mazik. And since there's a halacha of a mazik l'harchik is atzmai, he carries the full and whole responsibility to make sure that he doesn't do damage. Al chardel v'dvarim, but when we speak about mustard and bees, tavai maske adodi, they equally do damage to each other. Since they equally do damage to each other, both of us have the obligation to separate. Rabbanan says the Gemara. Rabbanan's opinion is dvarim l'chadol loy maskele, that bees don't do damage to the mustard. Ibekinsa, because we're talking about that they're eating up the mustard seed lemishkachela, you can't find the mustard seed easily, and since you can't find the mustard seed easily, we don't have to assume that it's going to do damage to it. If betafa without the leaves, hadapari, they're going to grow again, and therefore it's not damage. So of course the Rishonim ask, what kind of an answer is this that they're going to grow back? But the leaves that were eaten, the leaves that they eaten are damaged, and those leaves can never go back. So therefore, I saw that the Rashba explains that hadapari means that the leaves are picked right away before the bees could attack them. Another pshat that the Rashba suggests is that the leaves don't have any intrinsic value. Nobody eats the leaves of the mustard. They're only there to protect the mustard seed. And they grow back very quickly. So since they're only there to protect the mustard seed, and they grow back so quickly, we're not concerned if they do damage to the leaf. Ask the Gemara. But now we're learning that Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that al mazik l'hachik is atzmai. Ask the Gemara, v'sava Rabbi Yossi, is it indeed Rabbi Yossi's opinion that al mazik l'hachik is atzmai? But Tanan, we're going to learn the Mishnah we've been discussing about the separating the tree from the bar. Rabbi Yosef Ma'apish Abar Kademus Le'ilan, even if the bar was there before the tree, so I had no right to plant a tree that could encroach into your bar. La'yakats, we shouldn't cut off the tree. Shezechai B'tech Shalai V'zen B'tech B'shalach Shalai. So we see that Rabbi Yosef's opinion is that we're not concerned that the mazik is doing damage, and not, and he doesn't subscribe to mazik la'akats atzmai. Elo, says the Gemara, la'ilam Rabbi Yosef al nizik sfirlei. Indeed, it is Rabbi Yosef's opinion al nizik la'akats atzmai. And the way to understand the Mishnah is l'dvreim the Rabbanan kamulhu. Rabbi Yosef is addressing the Rabbanan. He says, l'didi, my opinion is al nizik la'akats atzmai. And therefore, a field of Yishvi Yarka, even in the case of the flax water and the vegetable, the person who has the water doesn't have to do anything. And doesn't make a difference what came first or what second. If you, the owner of the vegetables, are concerned about your vegetables being near my flax water, distance your vegetable. El dechula martu alamazik, you, the Rabbanan, hold on, mazik lahachikas atzmai. So he says, Tenech Mishnah V'yarka. So says Rabbi Yosi to the Rabbanan, in the case of the water and the vegetable, since, as we said, Hani maski hani, v'hani loy maski hani, the Mishra damages the Yerek. The Yerek does not damage the Mishra. That's why it's the Mishra's about responsibility to distance himself. El achardel devarim, when we speak about the mustard and the bees, tavai maski madodi, so why should one be more responsible than the other? Answers the Gemara, Rabbanan, like we just said, the bees don't do damage to the mustard because if they're still in the seed form, they can't find the seed. And the leaves, so it's only the mustard doing damage to the bees, not vice versa. And therefore, since alamazik laharchikas atzmai, say the Rabbanan, only the person who owns the mustard carries a responsibility, not the other way around.